million university students. In Japan, you have more than 4 million university students. In the United States of America, you have more than 500,000 university students. In Italy, in France, in Western Germany, is to say students which in the past were a very small minority of society, exclusively or nearly exclusively coming from the upper classes, are today a much broader and much more variegated social layer. They have their own needs, which collide with the needs of bourgeois society and of the capitalist state. And the objective roots of this worldwide student revolt must be looked for in such kind of a sociological analysis, where I cannot go into which I cannot go in the framework of this small intervention here. But this being said, it is clear that by the very nature of students, at least a question mark must be placed on the future of this student revolt if at some stage of evolution of this revolt, a reintegration with radical tendencies of the working class movement, and more concretely, reintegration and reunification with radical parts of the working class does not succeed. I say a question mark must be posed for a very evident reason, because you do not remain a student all your life, although you remain a worker all your life, or at least the biggest part of your life in capitalist society. You are a student only for a certain limited number of years, and the perspective today, as capitalism is developing in the third industrial revolution, is that the majority, I do not say all, but the majority of the revolting students of today will be tomorrow reintegrated, but not reintegrated in the working class movement, reintegrated into bourgeois society. They will be reintegrated into bourgeois society because they will get very good jobs, very high pay, and the struggle between the material pull which comes from this integration and the idealistic and conscious attempt to defend one's convictions is a struggle which is a very hard one. On this, the whole past of the labor movement and the socialist movement can give testimony, and only a small minority will end in such a struggle by keeping the level of consciousness of this period of revolt. So the big concrete problem is the problem of integrating at least the significant parts of these revolting students with the working class in order to prevent their reabsorption by bourgeois society at a later stage. Is this possible? I think it is possible. And I think we have at least a certain number of marginal examples. We must be very cautious yet, because we are in the beginning of a phenomenon, but we have a certain number of marginal examples, especially in Germany and in France. I know much less about the situation in Italy and in Britain, of how this could be done. And I cannot go into details, but I would like to indicate two ways in which this problem should be examined. One is on the level of consciousness itself, is to say on the level of analysis, of inquiry, of study. We must understand, I do not want to say this in a negative but in a positive way, we must understand that this student revolt gives potentially to the working class movement today a tremendous new productivity on the field of ideas. For Germany, I know this sounds a little bit shocking, this is the first time since 1848, I repeat, the first time since 1848, that you have something like a majority of lefts, of radicals amongst the students. And majority of lefts of radicals amongst the students, that means a majority of lefts of radicals amongst the intellectuals, or at least the first stage, the first generation, the first time lap of their life as intellectuals. Good. We know what the generation of 1848 has given to the international working class movement. It has given Marx, Engels, and many other things on which I have not to insist very much. I don't say that the present generation could make exactly the same contribution, but it could make a tremendous contribution on the field of producing ideas. There are many, many ways of doing this. I will just give one example, very tiny, small example, which comes out my own experience with the German students, the left German students. When you have a whole group of revolutionary socialist aspirant doctors or comrades who are in the last years of study of medicine and who consider themselves right or wrong as revolutionary socialists, it is not only necessary to tell them that they should integrate themselves into revolutionary organizations, go to the working class, and so on and so forth, to say, give them all kinds of advice on a purely organizational and political point of view. It would also be extremely useful to tell them, and we try to tell them to do that, that they should start to prepare themselves scientifically for solving a whole series of problems which have not been solved or only very marginally and very on a very insufficient level during the last 30, 40, 50 years of the development of the socialist movement. Let them study, for instance, to link up with what Comrade Maitan said before me, let them study concretely problems of medicine in the tropical countries with the purpose of giving concrete advice and help to guerrilla movements in Latin America, in Asia, and in Africa, where generally on the spot the number of doctors ready to and capable of doing that are extremely reduced. But you have not to limit yourself only to faraway places. You can find much concreter tasks also on the spot. Let them go not only inside the labor movement, but let them go to factories. Let them work as doctors, as simple manual workers for 1 year or 2 years in a factory and study as doctors the effect of labor productivity today, of intensity of exploitation, of labor rhythm implied by semi-automation today in the modern factory on the physiology of a normal human being and more concretely on their own individual physiology. I think that will help the study to be much more concrete and much more to the point than if they do it as outside observers. And these are just two examples from one field of a scientific endeavor, which is the field of medicine. Any field of science, you can start from in order to pose a series of concrete problems of development of, I wouldn't call this even socialist theory, that's not even in question, of giving a new set of theoretical arms, of theoretical arguments, of theoretical weapons to the socialist movement in the struggle for socialism on a world scale and in the imperialist countries themselves. That is on the field of productivity of ideas, of production of ideas. Of course, this we cannot limit ourselves to that. There is also the other concrete question, and we have noticed that, for instance, the lowering of the average age, if I might call it like that, the French comrades especially have very, very striking experience on this, and we have today beginning of the same thing in Germany, Western Germany. The lowering of the average age of the participants in the student revolt has the tendency to transfer the center of gravity in a certain sense out of the universities into age groups of, let us say, between 15 and 18 years. This is very clearly happening today in countries like France and Western Germany. And once you are in that age group, you can, of course, branch out much more concretely and directly through professional schools into a type, social type of layers who can integrate themselves very concretely in the working class, who are, as a matter of fact, the workers of tomorrow. Because let's not have any misconceptions on that field. The workers of tomorrow, the workers of the next 5 or 6 years, are going to be in many fields of industries a completely different type of workers than the classical miner or the classical steel worker of 30 or 40 years ago. Many of these types are formed today in these professional schools, and if you can integrate an important and form an important cadre of these very, very young students of professional schools and make them into revolutionary socialists, you have a very powerful weapon, not only to repenetrate into the working class, but to give